The agency's finally getting their heads around how to meet the requirements in the White House's open data policy from May 2013. Several agencies realize they need a combination of policy and action. Federal News Radio executive editor Jason Miller's here to tell us about some of the plans agencies will execute to meet the 18-month-old policy. How are they taking that policy and action approach to meet the requirements of that memo, Jason?
Well, as we've talked about many times, you know, right now it's all about the data, protecting the data, sharing the data, collecting the data, and of course now analyzing the data. And that's really what that policy is about. OMB laid out about 21 different requirements in that May 2013 memo, commonly known as, I'm sure, Francis, you have it on your wall, M1313.
Well, I have that on my Kindle.
That's on your Kindle,
yeah,
of course.
I downloaded the PDF to my Kindle.
I have the whole thing printed out.
Of course you do.
Well, here we are 18 months later. Agencies have had time, and you know, some may say too much time, to begin to implement the memo's requirements. Let's look at the Agriculture Department for a second. It is focusing on how best to get data to the public while also figuring out internal governance procedures. Bobby Jones is USDA's acting chief data officer and deputy CIO for policy and planning.
We basically stood up three boards. We stood up the Open Data Council, which kind of oversees the implementation of the policy. We set up the Open Data Working Group, which yours truly chairs, and we do the day-to-day operations, if you will. Going out there, really talking to the data owners, explaining to them the importance of getting the data out to the American people and how it's going to benefit USDA. It helps us to be better stewards of the American tax dollars by providing data that's going to spark innovation, entrepreneurship in the public.
USDA has also brought in GovLab, a nonprofit, to create almost a focus group or discussion on data usage, actually within state, local, federal government entities and those in the private sector. Jones says the goal is to figure out how best the agency can provide that data to help current and future projects. Now, he also says USDA will develop a data management and an open data policy in 2015. The data management policy will focus on standards, data cleansing, ownership issues. The open data policy will try to address USDA's approach to releasing data to the public. Now, Jones and others spoke Thursday at the FCA Bethesda, Maryland chapter breakfast. The transportation is another agency that's grappling with these challenges of the M1313 memo. They are ahead of USDA in many regards, but like many agencies, still have plenty of work to do. Dan Morgan is DOT's chief data officer. He says there's an opportunity to do more and get more information out faster if the agency can ease the path to find and use the data.
I need to be able to generate a framework for action. And quality means different things to different data sets, right? If you want to be the authoritative, trusted data source, your standard of quality is higher than if you're a good information source or just another database of conference room reservation. So we need to be smart about how we do that. Quality matters differently in the statistical world, in the research world, in the mission world, and in the administrative world. They're all the same measures, but how you actually manage that quality differs based on the kind of application and how authoritative and trusted it needs to be in your agency. And so we're trying to put the framework in place to say what that is and then give people the tools to actually measure and manage quality and be able to actually see whether or not their data set is hitting those standards.
Now, Morgan talks about the tools there, and that is actually very key because DOT or OMB or the public really can't expect the program folks to release their data or use the data to make information, to make good decisions without the software, without the dashboards, without everything to really analyze and really help the data make sense to their mission.
All right, so there's not a single agency in government that's starting from scratch. Everybody is somewhat down this path, whether it's just a step or two or fairly far. What are some examples of agencies that are doing it now and using this data for decision-making?
I think there's a lot of good examples out there. I mean, we see them almost every day. Let me just point out a couple. The Homeland Security Department is probably furthest along than most agencies when it comes to using data, specifically terrorism-related data. Donna Roy is the executive director of DHS's Information Sharing Environment Office. She says DHS has four major data-centric programs, including the Homeland Security Information Network, known as HISN, and the Identity Credentialing and Access Management Program. Roy says DHS recently launched a new data effort as well.
A program called the Data Framework, and the most exciting thing we're doing at the department. So the Data Framework is the place where we will put our most highly valued data assets into an environment that unclassified level, and most importantly at the classified level, to be able to better use our data against the current counterterrorism threat facing this country today, which is evolving very, very quickly. And the data framework is, while new, probably one of the Secretary's highest priorities. And so we're getting a lot of focus, a lot of energy, a lot of sponsorship around the data framework.
Now, Roy says in many respects, the data framework is the culmination of much of the work she and DHS more broadly has been doing over the last 6 or 7 years. Now, what they're going to do now is take all this data, not just what's in the framework, but move all their high-value data sets into what she calls a data lake. That includes the tagging of the data with access control, so who can access the data, who owns the data, and other metadata features to make it accessible to the right people at the right time. Now, over at Transportation Department, they also have a good example. Dan Morgan, the CDO, says DOT started piloting safety records of tour bus operators on the web as a way to inform and maybe even influence people about the safety records of these companies. He says this was such a huge success, the Federal Motor Safety Carrier Administration made all of its data that can be public available through a web service. Now, these are just two examples. I think there's plenty of others. But actually, you know, Francis, I heard an interesting acronym the other day. I think we have to start paying attention.
Okay.
It's called CMASS, C-M-A-S-S. It stands for Cloud, Mobile, Analytics, Social, and Security.
It sounds like it would be an athletic conference.
Exactly. Not social security, but social and security. So as agencies continue to implement these five areas of technology, that's only going to increase the value of this data.
And it's also probably going to increase the value of the chief data officers. You introduced us to a couple in this report. How are they different than chief information officers, and where do they fit into the C-suite?
I think that's one of those questions that people are going to start asking more and more, because on one hand, you have a CIO. Chief Information Officer. What do they focus? They're supposed to focus on information. So then you have a CDO focuses on data. Well, you know, the question is data, information aren't really the same thing. But I think as more agencies name a CDO, and DOT was one of the first ones, Energy and Commerce are also in the process of naming CDOs. And obviously you heard the Agriculture Department, Bobby Jones is an acting CDO. So that means he or someone else will be a permanent in the near future. I think those roles are going to differentiate between a CIO and a CDO in the coming months and years. Dan Morgan describes his role around three tracks.
I've named them govern, engage, and enable. And govern is really that information management, eat your vegetables kind of stuff that we need to put a bigger focus on, putting together common practices to have all of the components that are part of the Department of Transportation have products about information management that actually talk to each other. The second piece of engagement is really around not only external engagement, which the open data policy really espouses. We have a history and a real business reason for being open and transparent with the American people. And we need to appreciate that and just do better at it. So there's a lot of coaching and then really bringing people to understand how newer folks who are building interesting web-based applications are applying our data and what that means for the way we produce and release that data to the public. The last bit of enablement is really around providing some sort of safe space for our folks to try new things, get new technologies in the door, do some data science stuff, whatever it is that's really driving their need to get more out of their data, and try to aggregate the risk up at my office level so that we don't have lots of fragmented approaches inside the components so that we can do a better job of putting our data to work for ourselves.
Now, each of those tracks could easily be given to a CIO, but at the same time, having someone focus entirely on the data really does create further value. Now, some people say if agencies actually outsource, or if you will, insource to other federal agencies, their commodity IT, think of email, think of data centers, then CIOs actually can focus on those business systems and data. But, you know, Francis, that day is still pretty far off, and I think that's why the CDO is popular right now.